Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors.
Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen and subscribe.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun. On a Thursday, the week is almost over and it just keeps getting better and better. I don't even want to get off the air because who knows what's going to drop next. In case you're just now joining us, RFK tapped earlier today to be the new head of HHS. We will talk about that. We're first going to talk about the Overton window. We're going to talk about the evils of what the Biden administration actually did, because we can't forget that. There are a lot of people who are very angry about these appointments. We're going to get to a bunch of emails. The world is already a safer place. The economy may not be. All that and so much more coming up tonight on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. I want to begin actually with this email, because this will come back to RFK Jr. and Tulsi Gabbard and Matt Gaetz and Pete Hegseth and the coming administration. And Jesse, you mentioned several times the Overton window always moves left. With the huge red election sweep and now Trump's cabinet picks, is it possible the window will actually move to the right for once? Says his name is Spencer. He goes on to talk about how his wife made some insulting remarks about my forehead and my hands. But anyway, let's talk about that, the Overton window, how it's only moved left. And do we have an opportunity here to move it right? Let's cover this again really quickly for those who may have missed it last time we talked about it. The Overton window, I'm not going to break down who Overton was or really all the nerdy stuff about it, but here's what we need to understand. Culturally, as a country, we have only moved left incrementally over time. Sometimes it's really fast. Sometimes it's slow, but only left. That is the only direction we've moved. Why? Well, let's think about things. You know what? Let's focus on Democrats for a moment. Democrats, when Barack Obama was running for president, Barack Obama, that's not ancient history. That's 08. When Barack Obama was running for president, Barack Obama was vocally on camera against gay marriage. Nope, don't like it. This is not ancient history. It's 15 years ago, give or take, against gay marriage. Today, every single Democrat has a tranny flag. Every single Democrat, top to bottom, will tell you that you can chop your penis off and become a woman. 15 years ago, the most popular Democrat president was against gay marriage. 15 years later, everyone can chop their penises off and become women. How does that happen? How can you radically shift on something that quickly? Well, you shift a culture, you shift that Overton window by breaking down existing barriers that are there in ways that are completely uncomfortable and radically change the norm. So if you want to move a culture in your direction, and let's say it's culturally left, like we just talked about, if you want to move a culture that way, you don't try to do it politely. This is what the communists have always understood. You don't do it politely. You can't do it within a box. In fact, you have to take extreme, uncomfortable, oftentimes rude stances. And in the end, the culture itself will move your way, oftentimes just to get you to shut up. I've used this as an example before. I'm going to use it again because it is so applicable to what we're talking about here. You ever been out to eat? You're in a store, anywhere, Walmart, wherever, and there's a couple and they're arguing and she starts getting loud
louder and louder and louder. And now people are starting to look. And I saw you look at Tina that way. And you can see the visible discomfort on his face. You can see it. He wants to die in that moment. And he's trying to calm her down. It's okay. It's okay. Shh. Just people are listening. But you can actually see his will. Oftentimes, you can see his will break down in real time. He'll start giving her things just to make the noise stop. Okay, but okay, honey, I am sorry. I shouldn't have talked to Tina. Okay, you're right. You are right. And you can almost see him practically patting her head like a dog. It's okay. It's okay. Calm down. It's okay. Please stop embarrassing me. That is what the rabid communist left, especially the street animal types, that's what they actually accomplish when they do all the various things they do. We look at the crazy things they do and we say, there is no point. Why are you gluing yourself to the road for climate change? That didn't convince anyone. Why are you at your gay pride parade dancing around and shaking your penis in the face of children? All that does is turn people against you. Why are you doing this? Why are you doing that? Why did you set up an abortion clinic at the Democrat convention? That just makes you look extreme. To us, the actions they take look extreme, but there is a purpose to it. When you take these extreme, crazy, in-your-face positions, you will find the culture, the country itself, kind of break down and become that guy of, well, no, I mean, I don't necessarily believe in the trans stuff, but no, okay, yeah, you're right. I don't want to be hateful. Yeah, okay, you're right. Don't yell at me. Don't fire me. Don't accuse me of things on social media. I'm sorry. You're right. I'm sorry. You're right. Just do what you do. And it doesn't just work on the left. As they break down the barriers of the country, as they break down the fences that keep the country from going left, the Republican Party moves right there with them. I'll use an example that'll probably make everyone mad, but it's a very good example for what we're talking about. So save your offense. I don't care if you're offended. Let's use the pro-life example. The left for years, forever, when Roe versus Wade got put in, they would go with safe, legal, and rare. Safe, legal, that was their position. Safe, legal, and rare. Safe, legal, and rare. Safe, legal, and rare. The Republican position was pro-life. Those were the two positions forever. And then the communists figured out, wait a minute, safe, legal, and rare. Who gives a crap about this? Let's slaughter these freaking things. And so they started bragging about it. Soon, safe, legal, and rare turned into a pro-abortion protest with women wearing shirts bragging about how many babies they've killed. Well, that's not safe, legal, and rare. Why are they doing this? They look crazy. Well, enough of that. Enough of this. Enough cultural influence. Soon, you have shattered that fence that was keeping your culture where it needs. Now, you have legions of women who believe abortion is the most important issue in the country. How did that happen? They broke down the fences. They took extreme stances that weren't popular at the time. You cannot break down fences by taking a popular position. Remember that. They broke down fences that weren't popular at the time, shattered through them. And what happened in response to that? As the culture moved that way, as that fence got broken down, the GOP, feeling like it was losing the culture war, feeling like it had lost on that issue, the GOP said, you know what? Just take pro-life out of the platform. Hey, you know, in fact, you know what? We're not even that pro-life. It's back in the States and I don't even really care. You can agree or disagree with that. That's not what I'm talking about. Look what happened. Which direction did the Overton window shift? It used to be safe, legal, and rare for them and pro-life at all times for us. Now for them, it's kill them all and let God sort them out. And for us, it's, well, I mean, I don't want to get into that. You just make your own call, let the states decide. That's a leftward shift. That's shifting the window. Props to them. Props to the demons for getting it done. That's shifting the window your direction by taking extreme positions that are not popular, that do not fall within the fence line of what the culture currently considers acceptable. Remember that about the Overton window as we go into what Trump is doing right now, what the incoming administration is doing as far as shifting it the other way. This is one of those things that that polite people will have a harder time with. It's easier for communist street animals, because most of them are demonic, it's easy for them to blow through the norms of society because they're trying to destroy society itself. For you, a polite, normal human being, breaking down fences, stepping on toes, offending people, maybe even taking a position that is a little too extreme, these are things that make you uncomfortable because you are a good citizen and a good person. And it's harder to convince a good, stable, normal human being to go kick down a fence and destroy something. That's really what moving the window involves. It involves destroying things. You're destroying cultural norms. You're destroying fences. You're making people feel icky and, ooh, I don't like that. The communist, he has no such shame, so it's easy for him. It's been very easy over the years. Our shame in that has held us back. So let's discuss this RFK pick. Shoot, let's talk some more about Gates. Gabbard, where we're going from here. Do we have an opportunity to turn that around? Let's dig into that before we do that. Let's do a quick email here. Dear Papa Cream, I told you I didn't like that nickname. I said I didn't like it. I was interested in learning more about GovX since hearing about it on the show. In addition to military and first responders, pay attention to this, they also provide membership for medical personnel, government workers, and teachers. I was able to get a GovX membership as a medical professional, and now I get all those sick deals on the site. Thank you for the heads up. Appreciate you and your show. If you read this, you can say my name. And also, I request the Frito Bandito. His name is Taylor. Taylor, you're going to have to wait on the Frito Bandito for a second. But yes, medical professionals too. And your families. Did you serve? Military, first responder, medical, teachers, and your families. You get a free membership at GovX. Look at the ridiculous deals they have on the best gear you could imagine. Vacations, cruise packages, ball games, concerts. You are paying too much. You have a free membership waiting for you. GovX.com. And when you use the promo code Jesse, you get $15 off your first purchase. So get free money. GovX.com. Promo code Jesse. We'll be back.
Truth. Attitude. Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday, and I would be an idiot if I didn't let you know right now that tomorrow is an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. I realize we have a bunch of new listeners. I actually had a meeting with some suits this morning, some iHeart Premier suits, and the show is going gangbusters, absolutely gangbusters, which is unbelievable considering our lack of maturity. Anyway, for you new listeners, on Fridays, we do it really different on this show. All 3 hours on Friday, I answer questions. It's ask me anything. It doesn't have to be political. It doesn't matter what it is. Whatever you email in, email right now. They all get saved. Chris is already banking them. Jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Email in your question, or you can leave us a voicemail, 877-377-4373. Before I get back to the Overton window, I forgot I owed that last guy something that I think we all need right now.
Ay, 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 ay. I am the Frito Bandito. I like Fritos corn chips. I love them, I do. I want Fritos corn chips. I'll get them from you. Ay, 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 ay. Oh, I am the Frito Bandito. Give me Fritos corn chips and I'll be your friend. The Frito Bandito, you must not offend. Munch, munch, munch a bunch of Fritos.
Now to the question, do we have a chance with this Trump administration coming in and the people he's putting into place? Do we have a chance to shift the Overton window for the first time back our way? I believe we do. I believe we do, but there is something that will prevent that if we allow it. You see, right now we have, with the RFK pick, with the Gates pick, with the Hegseth pick, Tulsi Gabbard pick, what we have is people, if they get through the confirmation process, who will take over departments and they will view their role as taking apart that department. reforming it, ripping it up, cleaning out the corruption. Word came out today when that RFK Jr. news came down that people in the government were already threatening to quit. These people who are taking over, Pete Hegseth taking over as SecDef, he's already said as much. It's not only going to be about securing America. Of course, that's priority one. He wants to clean up the military. That's looking inward. Matt Gaetz has railed endlessly against the DOJ and the corruption inside of it. Matt Gaetz is going to look inward. Tulsi Gabbard takes over as Director of National Intelligence. And I have many problems with Tulsi Gabbard, but she thinks the intelligence agencies of this country are way out of control and that they attacked her politically, and she's correct about both those things. She's looking inward. RFK Jr. taking over HHS, he's looking inward. We have people getting in there who are not looking outward, not looking for ways they can rule over us, not looking for ways they can attack us. They are looking to change the way things go. All this is good. The problem is going to be Washington, D.C., they are going to want things to continue exactly as they always have. And the second problem is this. We are facing two problems when it comes to moving this Overton window and getting these reforms done. The first, Washington, D.C. It'll be the media. It'll be every Democrat. It'll be half the Republicans. We are going to have to fight against that deep state swamp, whatever way you want to put it. That's going to be a problem. The second thing we are going to have to fight is you and me, us normal people. We are going to have to fight the urge to be normal. We have always sold ourselves, and pretty accurately, as being the adults in the room. You know, of course, Democrats take over. They destroy as much as they can possibly destroy. We come in after Democrats are done carving the country up, and we try to sweep some things up, and we try to get things cleaned up. We're the adults in the room. They're the crazy children. We're the adults in the room. We have to stop looking at ourselves as being these stately gentlemen who are going to do things the right way. That's going to kill us. It is. It's going to kill us. Whenever you're looking at a reformer, maybe one you disagree with. Like, you know what? Let's talk Tulsi Gabbard. We did a long talk about Gaetz last night. Let's talk Tulsi Gabbard. Tulsi Gabbard has sounded amazing the past few years. She has sounded much more like a freedom lover than she ever has before. But her resume before that, especially during her time in Congress, was awful. Not at all aligned with me and my values or you or your values. She was a big greenie. She was a big gun grabber. She was all those things. And when I see Tulsi Gabbard stepping into a critical role like Director of National Intelligence, I can be, and I was and am, and maybe you are too, tempted to say something like, oh gosh, she's a friggin' Democrat. I don't even know. Maybe she will get in there and do some Democrat things. But the most important thing is she's taking over and she's looking to clean out corruption inward. That is the most important thing. So I'm going to set aside my discomfort with having a recent Democrat in there. I'm going to take her at her word. She's been a vocal freedom fighter for a couple years, and we will see how it goes. I stand firmly behind Tulsi Gabbard, firmly. Speaking of which, male vitality stacks and testosterone are critically, critically important. Do you stand firmly behind Tulsi Gabbard? Maybe it's time to up your T levels. A 20% increase in your testosterone in 90 days is waiting there for you, gentlemen, with natural herbal supplements. Stop ignoring the fact you're sad all the time, you're out of energy, there's a reason for it, and it's probably not even your fault. We drink estrogen. Ladies, are you out of gas all the time? 3-4 o'clock in the afternoon, are you reaching for the coffee pot? Try a female vitality stack for 90 days. The anti-communists at Chalk, they are waiting to answer your questions. Go find out what they have and take advantage of the Black Friday special that runs in November. a $50 bonus product added to your first delivery. CHOQ.com, promo code Jesse. Chuck.com, promo code Jesse. We'll be back. What, Chris? We can make jokes. It's fine.
You got that right. The Jesse Kelly Show.
The best way to understand all sides of an issue is to know all sides of an issue.
Can't get that in the mainstream media, which is why you've got to listen to some Clay and Buck for another point of view.
Buck, why are you going third person?
Because, Clay, I think this ad is running in places that might not exactly align with all of our politics or even know who we are.
It's impossible. But maybe if it's true, I bet if they did listen, they'd end up agreeing with us on at least one issue, even if they secretly won't admit it.
Well, the only way they're going to find out is if they download the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app or wherever they get their pods.
We're easy to find, unlike your wife at Costco.
Clay, you speak the truth, but we're already losing people.
I think I gained one or two just now.
In case you haven't noticed, we like to have a lot of fun as well as talk about what's going on in the world.
Come hang with us today and every day at Clay and Buck. Download the iHeartRadio app, search out those names, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton, and come hang.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday. Remember, if you miss any part of the show, you can download the whole thing on iHeart, on Spotify, on iTunes. I'll get to a bunch of the appointment news and some sound and stuff like that here in just a moment. I do want to say, look, I am thrilled about the latest news today that RFK Jr. has been tapped to take over HHS. RFK Jr. has said he's going in to clean out corruption. He's going in to fire people. He's going in to make America healthy again, get a lot of this poison out of our food. I like a lot of that. I, however, have to caution everybody. I have a major, major, major concern with RFK and some of the cuts he may be making. And this is something maybe we need to email somebody. Maybe we just need to pray about it. But I have a huge concern. Not everything these organizations do is bad. For instance, the National Institute of Health, they spent over $3 million to watch hamsters fight on steroids. They put a bunch of steroids in hamsters, and then they watched them duke it out. And that's freaking awesome. And I am thrilled that we are going to be cleaning up the food, and hopefully we're going to be tacking the big pharma stuff. I'm firmly behind RFK Jr. on that. If he needs any help, I can't imagine why he would need my help. That's fine. We have to continue the hamster fights. And how are these not televised? What we're missing? You want to solve the deficit problem? Why am I the one that has to think of these things? It's called pay-per-view. I want to see the most juiced up hamster you've ever seen in your life. I want the Barry Bonds of hamsters. I want them going to, I want it to look like a couple of gorillas in there. What, Chris? This is not revenge because I got bit once. And anyway, I didn't get bit by a hamster, for your information. I got bit a couple different times. First time, I've been attacked by several wild animals. It really, that's what happens when you grow up. Like white trash, like I did. For instance, you want to hear the most white trash story in the world? You probably can't see on the simulcast, although you may, because it's a little bit pronounced. If you're watching on the simulcast, remember they simulcast the radio show on the first TV. You see this knuckle right here? See, I have some scars on my knuckles. Some of them are from hitting people in the face. Some of them are from splitting firewood. I used to cut up my knuckles all the time doing that. But this one right here, I don't know if you can see it, I have this scar on my finger. When I was little, really, really little, I'm talking 5-6 years old, we had ferrets in our backyard. We had a cage. I have no earthly idea why we purchased these ferrets, what the purpose of it was. It's not like they were cuddly little things, but we had ferrets in our house. And we had this big, big cage for them out in the backyard. That's where the ferrets were. And I was doing something. Look, it's me. I'm sure I was being annoying on purpose. I had my finger stuck in the cage. I was probably, wee, wee, wee. I could just see young Jesse being super annoying about the whole thing. And one of the ferrets unleashed on me and grabbed a hold of my finger and started tearing my finger to bits. I start screaming bloody murder. my old man, my dad was huge. He was a big dude. He was 6'4", 6'5", 250, and an athlete. Like he was just football, basketball player. He was big and nasty. He hears me screaming, and my old man comes running out back, and he runs back to the cage. Get this, it's one of these cages made of steel wire, right? So it's got these steel wires on it, and the ferret's got my finger on it. The old man cocks back his fist and punches the freaking ferret through the cage. Boom! Fist right through the cage, and the ferret goes sprawling back across the back. How sick is that? Dad, if you watch me from heaven, thanks. Appreciate you. That's one time. The other time, I was attacked by the guinea pigs. Praise God they weren't on steroids. I might not be here today. The other time was when Av and me, we got married, and we decided we wanted some pets, but we didn't want to deal with dogs or cats or anything like that. I would never live with a cat, so we didn't want a dog yet. We decided to get the most low-maintenance pets ever, and we got a couple guinea pigs. I've told you this story before, so I'm not going to go into the whole thing. But she would always want to take them out. Hey, should we take them out? Let's take them out and then snuggle with them. Let's take them out. You know how women are. Let's take them out. Let's take them out. So we would take them out, and they would bite us. They're not very nice. You'd be sitting there, and this little fur ball would be there, and it would bite you. You know what, Chris? We could go find those guinea pigs and put... Don't shake your head, Chris. We could find those guinea pigs and put them in the hamster fights. They could be... Listen. It can be like a lower-end warm-up fight. Like the WNBA or something like that. It's not really the same sport as steroid hamster taking on steroid hamster. Frankly, it doesn't look anything like it. It's a little bit embarrassing, but guinea pig on guinea pig, maybe give them a little shot of juice. I think this is good. I don't know why you're shaking your head. Anyway, so I'm excited about RFK. I will stand firmly against any cuts to steroid hamster fights. In fact, I would like to purchase those on pay-per-view. Now to Matt Gaetz' resignation letter, which was read on the floor of the House today. You see, Gaetz resigned. You want to talk about just removing any parachutes? He's all in now, baby.
The Honorable the Speaker, House of Representatives, sir, I hereby resign as a United States Representative for Florida's...
This is not Matt Gaetz. Don't send him, Chuck.
First Congressional District, effective immediately. And I do not intend to take the oath of office for the same office in the 119th Congress to pursue the position of Attorney General in the Trump administration. Signed sincerely, Matt Gaetz, Member of Congress.
Under Clause 5D of Rule 20, the Chair announces to the House that in light of the resignation of the gentleman from Florida, Mr. Gaetz, the whole number of the House is 433.
Okay. Johnson, Mike Johnson, who's coming back as Speaker of the House. I know you're mad. I'm not thrilled either. We were never going to get a different one, okay? We can only win so many battles. This was one we were not going to win. I talked to a couple of my friends in the House of Representatives. They're the most hardcore guys. I talked to a couple of my friends in there, and they told me, Jesse, it was only ever going to go one way. So it's going to be Mike Johnson again. Let's hope. You know, I like to say hope is not a plan, and it's not, but let's hope we get a better, sturdier maybe version of Mike Johnson than the one we've had, because the one we've had has just been so bad and weak. But anyway, Johnson was asked about Gaetz resigning. Here he was.
He issued his resignation letter effective immediately of Congress. That caught us by surprise a little bit, but I asked him what the reasoning was, and he said, well, you can't have too many absences. So under Florida state law, there's about an 8-week period to select and fill a vacant seat. And so by doing so today, that allows me, I've already placed a call to Governor DeSantis in Florida and said, let's start the clock. He's in Italy at the moment, and so we're going to talk first thing in the morning about this. And if we start the clock now, if you do the math, we may be able to fill that seat as early as January 3rd when we take the new oath of office for the new Congress. So Matt would have done us a great service by making that decision as he did on the fly. And so we're grateful for that.
That sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Sounds like Matt Gaetz is interested in preserving that seat for the majority. And Ron DeSantis is as ruthlessly efficient as any Republican governor I've ever seen in my life. He will make sure it is done. He'll make sure it's done right. He has a couple big shoes to fill because he also has to put in a United States senator. Remember, Marco Rubio in Florida is leaving to be Secretary of State. So there's all that. Now, I will say one more thing about Matt Gaetz, because we're gonna talk about some of the reaction to Gaetz here in a moment before we do emails and other things. I will tell you, I had somebody, I cannot name him, somebody email me who told me Gaetz was the only member of Congress who reached out to him privately when he was going through hell just to check on him and help. It was pretty cool. It was pretty cool. So anyway, there's that. Let's talk some more about the reaction next.
Jesse Kelly returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday. I can't even believe that was a song, and I can't even believe that I don't hate it as much as I feel like I should hate it. The bird is the word, Chris. Well done. Well done. Hey, look, I love the Beatles as much as the next man. Anyway, remember, tomorrow is an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday, and you need to get your questions emailed in now to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Now, I got a million Gaetz emails from yesterday. Is he going to get confirmed? I love it. I hate it. I get all that. And yes, I heard what Kevin McCarthy said today.
Choices are very good except one. Look, Gaetz won't get confirmed. Everybody knows that.
You say Gaetz will not be confirmed. Why bother with the nomination then?
Well, you can talk to the president, but it's a good deflection from others, but it also gives... I'll let it stand with that.
Okay, so let's talk about this. Is he going to get confirmed or not? I don't know. There are some senators who have already flaked. Murkowski, Collins, the standard GOP flimsy ones. You had John Cornyn come out today. Surprise, surprise. Loser Cornyn said this.
On the issue of vetting, though, how critical is it to have access to what the House Ethics Committee has found in their investigation?
I think there should not be any limitation on the Senate Judiciary Committee's investigation, including whatever the House Ethics Committee has generated.
So you want to see it?
Absolutely.
Okay. Fetterman came out and said it was just a troll.
I mean, I would describe it as God-tier level trolling to just trigger a full-on China syndrome to own the libs in perpetuity.
Okay. Well, let's discuss a couple things it might be. First, let's discuss this scenario. This is not my theory. I need to be clear. I first heard this from my buddy Sean Davis, and I don't know whether he heard it from someone else. I just want to make sure he gets credit. I do not. The theory is this. Gaetz comes from Florida. What else has to be appointed from Florida? A United States senator. There's a vacant Senate seat from Florida because Rubio's leaving. You put up Matt Gaetz in the confirmation process, and you dare the United States senators to reject his confirmation as attorney general under threat that if they do, you will make him a United States senator so he can be a colleague of theirs after they reject him. It can be a way to essentially force their hand. Another thing that you can probably almost bank on this, recess appointments. Meaning you can put someone in the job because they're in recess, and then eventually they'll have to go through the confirmation process. But until that time, they're doing the job. Maybe they just cram him in there in recess, let him blow up as much of the DOJ as he can while he can, and then maybe he gets through, maybe he doesn't. Maybe he's done a bunch of work. And to what Kevin McCarthy just said, don't be angry with him. I mean, you can be angry with him. I don't really care about him. But there may be something to this as well.
Choices are very good except one. Look, Gaetz won't get confirmed. Everybody knows that.
You say Gaetz will not be confirmed. No. Why bother with the nomination then?
Well, you can talk to the president, but
it's
a good deflection from others, but it also gives... I'll let it stand with that.
It's a good deflection. Let's talk about negotiation tactics. Something Donald Trump obviously knows a lot about because of his career in business. This is something he did very well during his first presidency, negotiating deals internationally, domestically. He was really, really good at this. He's someone who understands negotiation. Throw a bunch of things at them they don't want, and then you pull out the shiniest of shiny objects that is the most repugnant to them. And what does that shiny object, what does the Gates object do? Well, let me ask you, honestly, in the last 24 hours, we have all these different, there's Hegseth and Gabbard and now RFK. Last 24 hours with all these important picks, what's the name you've heard the most by mile? By a mile. What's the biggest story out there right now? It's Matt Gaetz, Attorney General. What if he is almost a sacrificial lamb, a bullet sponge, if you will, for lack of a better term? You have Hegseth. They don't want Hegseth either. They don't want Tulsi Gabbard. They're scared of all these picks. They don't want RFK. They don't want this. But you are essentially daring the United States Senate to shoot down all of the picks of the incoming GOP president? They would never do that, even if you argued the United States Senate will reject one, and they might. I could see them rejecting Gates. I could see it. They would never in a million years reject more than one. No way. Zero chance. They would know if you're a United States senator and you don't want to face a primary challenge that is extremely well-funded, you would know for a fact you have maybe one. Maybe they'll let you get away with, I don't know about Matt Gaetz. Maybe I'm going to be a no on that one. You definitely don't have two. There is no chance, zero, zip, not going to happen that multiple Trump picks of these big ones, I'm talking about the big ones, that multiple Trump picks will be shot down by a GOP Senate, because just in the same way that Trump has a limited amount of political capital, he has a bunch, he's the new president, he's got a bunch, but it's limited, it's always limited, time eventually will turn you back into the bad guy. In that exact same way, if you're a United States senator, you have maybe one rejection of your president's nominees. Maybe one. And you might not even have that. If you're like, what's that lady's name? Caputo from West Virginia. West Virginia's blood red now. She's already out there vocally talking about, I don't know about Matt Gaetz. That woman's going to lose her Senate seat if she votes against Matt Gaetz. Murkowski in Alaska can get away with it. Alaska is so super purple. It's not blood red. If you're in a blood red state like West Virginia and you vote against Donald Trump's pick for attorney general, goodbye. Too bad. So sad. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. You're gone. You only have so much capital left. Maybe in a way, he's going to be the bullet sponge. All right. Let's talk about Elizabeth Warren, John Bolton, the Biden administration's corruption. We can't forget about that. Let's talk about your dog. Let's make sure your dog lives longer. Don't you want that? My wife already, when she's snuggling with Fred, which is like all the time because Fred demands it, she'll already get this feeling, this look on her face. And I'll say, baby, what? What's wrong? She's like, I can't believe he's going to die one day. That's what they do to us. They become part of the family. They become part of you. It's like losing a family member. It's freaking horrible. We sprinkle rough greens on Fred's food every single meal so Fred can live longer. Yes, we get the benefits that Fred's coat looks better. He doesn't have digestive problems anymore. There are benefits your dog gets from finally getting nutrition. But the best one is your dog lives longer. Start sprinkling rough greens on your dog's food or your cat. They have cat stuff now too. Also, check out the new chews for the dog. Roughgreens.com/Jesse gets you a free jumpstart trial bag. Or you can call them 833-33-MY-DOG. We'll be back.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors.
Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen and subscribe.